Well, that's the King of Love, My Shepherd Is. And today is the second day of May in the year of our Lord 2017. It's a Rumination Tuesday. So we have with us Pastor Mark Smith to help us with this hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. And of course, Baker wrote it.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Baker. Good Englishman. Henry Baker.
Oh,
any ancestor of yours?
Believe it or not, one of my uncles was Henry Baker.
Huh. How about that?
Yes.
Yeah.
But he's not the one that wrote it.
The tune is Irish?
Yes. 18th century setting. Henry Baker died in 1877. Why are we talking about, after Easter, the shepherd?
Because the fourth Sunday of Easter is Good Shepherd Sunday.
Every year.
Yes, every year. That's right, every year.
It used to have another name.
A Latin name, if I remember right.
That's correct.
And very hard to pronounce.
Yes.
So I'm trying to think how long we've had Good Shepherd Sunday on the fourth Sunday. It's not, you know, it hasn't been forever. It's been...
Well, of course not, because...
Well, I mean, it's been maybe 15, 20 years or so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I remember doing a Good Shepherd Sunday when I got in the ministry, and that was 1974.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's always been on the fourth Sunday. I could be wrong on that very easily.
Yeah, I was trying to think, too. We'd have to talk to somebody who knows more about worship than you and I do.
Right. So how are you doing, Tom, on this beautiful day?
Oh, I don't know. I'm looking forward to the rain tomorrow.
Goodness.
Oh, no. Yeah, is it flooding up in your area?
No, thank God, no.
Yes.
But, boy, a lot of roads closed, you know.
Yeah, Eureka's having problems.
It's terrible.
Well, they actually had a tornado in Orchard Farm.
Really?
Yeah, a couple of nights ago, but caused some damage. But some of my members, what they're concerned about, I didn't realize this, the rivers are still rising.
Yes, oh yeah.
And especially if the rain tomorrow and the next day.
That's right.
Then as I drove yesterday to Trinity Orchard Farm to do the confirmation and all this, the fields are really flooded.
Oh, yeah.
With water. And so I asked a gentleman who really is a great farmer last night at a meeting I was at, will you have to reseed? And he didn't think so. If the water disappears... And it's pretty windy, so maybe it's doing that. In fact, the one field that had water in it hardly has any now. So I don't know how long the water has to stay on the ground before the seed is drowned. In fact, some of the corn's already coming up.
No kidding.
Yes. Yeah, so they've been working on it quite a bit. Yeah, I've learned a lot about farmers. They're really busy.
Oh, hardworking, too.
Yeah, yeah.
No. And if you don't pray, I was going to say, if you don't pray for rain at the proper time, you're in trouble.
Well, actually, one of the members came up to me because I had prayed for rain last year, and he asked, please stop praying for rain.
Yeah, right.
But I made sure that in the general prayer that I included, you know, better weather.
Right.
Weather so that the harvest will be able to be received by us and that God would do his work. So God has a number of ways in which he describes himself. There's a banner that Concordia Publishing House used to sell about all the names of Jesus, like Redeemer and Father and, well, from Isaiah, all over. There were about 30 of them on them. One of them is Shepherd. So that's the reading for this coming Sunday.
Right.
And Jesus makes a big distinction between him as the proper shepherd versus the improper shepherd.
Yeah.
Because the improper shepherd does what?
Well, he just, at the sight of trouble, he just leaves.
Yes.
He's a hireling, as Jesus calls him.
Right, right. In fact, in that very thing, it's kind of interesting. He first of all refers to himself as a shepherd. And what I'm talking about, of course, is John chapter 10. And because he says, I am the good shepherd. But then down in verse 7, he says, I am the door of the sheep.
Right.
So he's both the shepherd, because he leads his sheep to the door, which he is.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm the way, the truth, and the life.
So why don't we start off by reading this wonderful hymn by Baker.
Okay.
And first stanza.
All right. The King of love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever.
In the promo, I said, that's not true.
It isn't, huh?
Do you lack anything?
Nothing that I really, really need.
Oh, that's not fair to say that. You see, that's where theology comes in. It says, I nothing lack if I am his. And yet, if you ask that question to your confirmands, write down the things that you lack.
Oh, they'll come up with all sorts of things.
Exactly, exactly. And then you have to bring in theology in and make the point you did, that from God's point of view, I'm lacking nothing, because if I truly were, he'd supply it.
He sure would.
All things work together for our good.
To them that love God.
Yes. We have to understand that theology changes your perspective on life and your perspective on what's happening to you. We can get confirmands who learn a lot of theology, but they don't understand it. And so it's important to get that understanding across, that Jesus is the shepherd, and the disciples didn't realize that. It's one of the things I'm going to be bringing up on Sunday, that why would they go to the tomb, say, I believe, you know, that he rose,
right,
and then go hide in the upper room? Because they had no understanding of why he had to be crucified. I really believe that. They didn't understand. Remember when Jesus says, well, I'm going to go get crucified, what does Peter say?
No, this should never happen to you, he says. No, this can't happen to you.
Yeah, and Jesus says.
And even though Peter earlier had confessed, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
And this is really important. That's a great example you give, that he knew him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, but two things he didn't know. Number one, what the Christ was to come to do.
That's right.
They thought they would take care of the Romans. And when's the first time, do you know, when any of the disciples said Jesus was God?
That's doubting Thomas.
Exactly.
My Lord and my God.
Yeah, the first time. Right. And so this is what I think is the task of the church, is not just to let people know what the Bible says, but to help them to understand it.
Understand it, right.
That's the task.
Because with that comes great comfort.
Absolutely.
When you're able to put it all together.
Yes.
Wonderful comfort.
Here's the example I used in confirmation yesterday. I kind of like cooking because I get these machines that make it easy. But I was looking at one recipe, and it was like fried chicken or something. There were 15 ingredients, and I'm just looking at them. I could have memorized all 15, but guess what? I wouldn't know how to use them. Because after the list of ingredients, then come the steps of how to use them. Like some of the ingredients get in a bowl mixed,
yes,
and then you dip the chicken in, then you dip it into something else.
What was it, Colonel Sanders? It was 16 herbs and spices. Remember how?
Yes. Yeah, and it's finger-licking.
Finger-licking good.
See, right? That's smart marketing. Where churches came out. I just saw it.
Church's chicken?
Yes. 10 pieces for $10.
Oh, boy.
I used to get 2 pieces for a dollar there. Things are really expensive. So what I do, I don't know if Walmart will pay me for this, but you can get 4 pounds of legs for $4. Chicken legs.
Uh-huh.
4 pounds of wings are $12. But if you get the legs, it's $4, which means each leg, when you, and I have a machine, I just put it in. 20 minutes later, I take it out. Guess what? 25 cents a leg. That's how much I'm paying now. Instead of 10 for $10.
Yeah, if you light legs, it's great.
Oh, well, dark meat, it's good. Yeah, white meat is good for you, and, you know, I've given up on good food. Well, anyway, that's an important point you made, that we don't lack anything because God promises to take care of everything. But that's an act of faith. I was just coming.
And we trust him implicitly.
Yeah, there's a record. It's sung by a woman. And the only thing I want is Johnny, she says.
Oh, uh-huh.
The trouble is Johnny has another girlfriend. And so the whole thing is just about what she lacks, you know. But that takes some theological thinking to help the congregation come to the point that they're not lacking anything when the fields are being flooded, when some of the homes are being flooded. Yeah, I didn't realize this, but some of the members are so close to the river that they expect their basement to have 2 inches of water in it by the end of the week.
It's a mess.
And so they're not participating in things at church because they're emptying their basements.
Sure they are.
Boy, I tell you. Stanza two, talking about basement flooding.
Right.
Where streams of living water flow, my ransomed soul he leadeth, and where the verdant pastures grow with food celestial feedeth. Now, you can have a four-year-old child memorize that, and they will have no idea what verdant means, celestial means.
We've talked about verdant before.
And what does it mean?
I can't remember.
Oh, remember, green grass.
Oh, well, it makes sense.
Yes.
Sure. But verdant?
Well, yeah. That's what sheep eat, not us. What's our verdant food? The Lord's.
Oh, the Lord's Supper. You're
yes, excellent.
Sure.
Yes. And then with food celestial feedeth. What's celestial mean?
That's heavenly.
Oh, very good. Yes. Celestial, and that definitely is from God himself, the Lord's Supper. I would say this week I'm really excited at Trinity Orchard Farm. Last 2 weeks we baptized 3 children. This week we're not only baptizing another child who is the relative of one of our organists, but we're also confirming an individual who went through adult instruction.
Oh, wow.
And we've got about 6 more in line, but they're not yet done.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I go 12 to 20 weeks, depending.
Oh, wow. They last that long with you, huh? Boy, that's a commitment. 12 to 20 weeks of adult instruction.
Yes, I usually spend maybe 4 to 6 weeks on the commandments until. Now, we're talking about somebody who's not a Christian.
Do you tell them how long it is to begin with?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they still stick with you.
Here's where the problem is. And my old congregation, it wouldn't be a problem to have 15, 20 people in class. You can't get 15 people to come at the same time.
All different times.
It's unbelievable. So I'm running like 4 classes right now with individuals at different times.
It's even that way with confirmation. I teach 2 confirmation classes a week. I can't get them all in the same class.
Oh, that's hard to believe. Wow.
Yeah, and I don't have a whole lot of kids, you know, but I have to have 2 sessions to get them all confirmed.
Well, I have 2 sessions, but they're the same kids because they're in confirmation. I'm sorry, in parochial school. Then I do have a Tuesday night class, which is the public school, and they enjoy coming. In fact, last week I let them out a little earlier. We go from 6 to 8, and
6 to 8, 2 hours.
Yes. And so,
boy,
I said we'll go out 7:30. We'll end.
Do you break that up with anything? You have a pizza party in the middle or anything like that?
No. We do have a gymnasium, and I let them have a break, and they go out and throw basketballs at each other. But
2 hours of confirmation instruction.
Yeah, I know. You know, I enjoy it because you're giving
the question is, do they enjoy it?
Well, at the end of that time, I said, we're leaving at 7:30, and let's have a vote next week. Do you want to go on till 8 or stop at 7:30? And it was a unanimous vote.
They wanted to stop at 7:30.
No.
They wanted to go till 8.
And the reason for that is I show videos for a lot of the things I do. Giving them examples of stuff like that. And they're always, when are we going to see the video?
That's the key there.
No, the key is you really got to keep those kids interested. Yes. Unlike adults who are motivated just by knowing they're going to hear something they've never learned before. And they come to that Thursday night Bible study. But the Tuesday night one, that's one of the hardest for pastors. Because what you're trying to do is show the streams of living water that are flowing into their life. That their souls have been ransomed. And, well, that's another word you'd have to explain to a little kid. What would ransom mean?
Ransom, redeemed.
But they don't understand that either.
Okay, bought back.
Yeah, bought back because we were in slavery.
Right.
A slavery of sin. All right. Stanza 3 is a good one for you to read.
Oh, I see what you said. Yeah. Perverse and foolish, oft I strayed, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. That's the picture of the Good Shepherd picking up the sheep.
The lost sheep.
The lost sheep.
Luke 15.
Right.
Yes.
And carrying them back to the fold.
Yeah, this is why every hymn, you can have about 30 Bible verses, depending on the author or the writer, because he's got all these thoughts in mind.
Sure.
And, I was taught that Jesus did, of course, the lost sheep, but what was his favorite sheep passage in the Old Testament?
Well, that'd be the 23rd Psalm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The Lord is, my, shepherd, I shall not want. Yes. Yeah, this is really interesting. I was visiting with someone who was really depressed. And what I started doing was saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. Just went through Psalm 23
right.
without explanation. And the attitude on the person changed.
Uh-huh.
The point you made, they were comforted.
Yeah.
How do words do that? Because they talk about your relationship with God. And even though this person is walking through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't expect them to live because of what is happening. They were comforted with those words.
I use the 23rd Psalm just about every shut-in call I make.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's
that
good.
And I use the 121st Psalm, too. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills.
Yes. Yeah. All right, I'll read 4. In death's dark veil, I fear no ill. With thee, dear Lord, beside me, thy rod and staff, my comfort still, thy cross before to guide me. You see, this is, unlike the hymn that's beside it, 7:10, the Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want, which is almost a direct translation of Psalm 23.
Right.
This one puts it in different framework, but it's still all pointing back to Psalm 23. Death's dark veil, I fear no ill. Thy rod and staff. What would be the rod and staff for today?
I guess the law and gospel.
Very good.
Law and gospel.
Yes, yes. Because the rod can be used against animals that are trying to attack the sheep, and the staff is used to bring them out of holes or ditches and this sort of thing. So that's how I understand it, too, law and gospel. Verse 5.
Thou spreadst the table in my sight, thine unction grace bestoweth, and oh, what transport of delight from thy pure chalice floweth. Well, there you've got the Lord's Supper right there, don't you?
Absolutely. But you also have something else. When's the last time you heard any kid use the word unction?
Yeah, unction is, unction is anointing.
Yes, very good. Thine unction grace bestow us that we're anointed. And you see, this is the purpose of all theology, is not to get them to know these hymns. They can have them memorized, but to understand them. In fact, there's one hymn I often use that people I memorize, but don't know what it means.
Yeah.
I'll start off and say, I think there's a hymn somewhere that says, on earth is not his equal. And who, of course, is that referring to?
It's talking about
says Jesus, but it's really referring
to Satan.
Satan. It's a mighty fortress is our God. Yes. Try it on your congregation.
Right.
Just ask them that question. Because we immediately get theology in the way of what a text really means. If you think who on earth is not his equal, you just assume it's Jesus.
Yeah. Well, another example of that, there's a hymn, I can't think of the hymn.
Yeah.
Just one line says, in the way that Enoch trod.
Oh, yeah.
And people are always asking, what's an Enoch trod?
Yes, the way he walked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is Enoch in the Bible?
Yeah, sure.
Well, of course it is. Yes. But you have to explain that.
Right.
See, that's what every sermon is giving meaning to words they know, uh-huh. but don't understand.
Uh-huh. I had a friend at the seminary, and he grew up thinking, you know, that part of the liturgy where he says, blessed is he, blessed is he. This guy was from Tennessee. He always thought they were saying, bless Tennessee, bless Tennessee.
Well, he was glad he was from Tennessee. Final stanza.
And so through all the length of days, thy goodness faileth never. Good shepherd, may I sing thy praise within thy house forever.
Once more, I don't think people believe that or know that, that his goodness never fails. Because every time something happens that's bad, a lot of times they get angry at God. May use his name.
Oh, yes.
Swearing. See, that's a denial of what this is saying then. That his goodness never faileth.
Right.
Yeah, it does.
Right.
Because we compare God to our friends. And sometimes our friends fail us.
Yes.
Fail us, yes. Yeah, by the way, Baker, this is King James language. That's why a number of the words. It'd be interesting to have Catherine Winkworth.
Yes, wouldn't it?
Retranslate.
Our favorite
this.
Translator.
Yes. But then it might be the next hymn, 710, the Lord's my shepherd. She'll just use the words right from Psalm 23. What are you preaching on this Sunday, you know?
Oh, well, it'd be something along the theme of the Good Shepherd.
Yes.
But I haven't finalized just exactly what.
Well,
still early in the week.
When do you give the hymns to your organist?
Usually Thursday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, this week, I remember now, I've got an organist that wanted them really early, so
yeah.
I've got to pick those hymns, boy, real quickly this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there are some good. You know what? There are no hymns in here. I couldn't believe it. There's no category of confirmation.
No, there's three. They gave three,
but
there's no, you're right. There's no topic or.
And when you take a look at
the old hymnal had, you know, a number of them.
Yes,
right?
I know. In fact, we're doing that with baptism. There's only two hymns in this hymnal that refer to the baptism of infants. So I went to the old hymnal and she's writing out the words
right
in the bulletin.
Sure.
For one. It's familiar to.
You know, it's never a perfect hymnal, is it? It's pretty
because it's not the Bible.
No, right.
Only the Bible's perfect. And that depends which translation, too. Only the Greek and Hebrew are perfect. But we're looking forward to Trinity Orchard Farm. And when do you preach?
I preach, of course, so we have a Saturday service at 5 p.m., 5 p.m. Saturday evening, and, of course, a Sunday morning service at 9 a.m. at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church out in Crestwood.
And what's the address?
So 8646 New Sappington. We're just south of the Watson-New Sappington intersection.
Exactly. Are they starting to build things with that shopping center?
It's all being torn down, right? It's almost all torn down, all leveled. It's really a change.
All right. We'll see you later. And thank you so much, Mark Smith. Tomorrow, Insight Wednesday. I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.